Fantasy Football Today Dynasty. I am your host, Heath Cummings, and we have a live startup mock draft for you today. Maybe more importantly, we have two great guests. We've got Joshua Cho at JB Cho Knows on Twitter. We've got Adam Pfeiffer from FTN. Adam, you don't have your Twitter handle up there, and so I'm maybe going to get it wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's APFEIFER. I forgot the rest.
24.
24.
I thought you were gonna have it. I was about to be super impressed.
Is that for Kobe?
That's for my favorite athlete of all time, Ken Griffey Jr.
Wow, I love it. I think you know we've talked a lot, Joshua, but I don't think we've done a podcast before. One of my very first podcasts with Adam, maybe the first one, maybe actually a baseball podcast. It was definitely, we did a DFS basketball podcast way back in the day.
I can't even fathom with baseball starting yesterday. I haven't done baseball content in a while. I can't even fathom doing that now.
So we've got a great collection of analysts in this draft. I started it off with the first pick. Yes, I gave myself the first pick because you know what? I'm trying to host a show. I'm trying to keep track of too many things. And now, somebody's making me angry in the chat. Jay Felicio asked me what time do the Jayhawks play tonight? Yeah, I really appreciate that. Somebody kick him out of it. Can we ban him from the chat, Thomas? No, I'm just joking. We won't do that. Joshua, you had the second pick. So I started things off with Josh Allen. It's a super flex startup mock draft, no rookies. Did I make your choice easy when I took Josh Allen?
Yeah, you did. You know, Patrick Mahomes has been one of the best, since really he came into the league. And he was the consensus number one for a while in Dynasty until Josh Allen improved his passing accuracy and just suddenly catapulted himself along with his rushing. So I would have definitely taken Josh Allen if I was at number one here. But Patrick Mahomes for me is kind of an easy two at this point in Dynasty. In redraft, it might be a little bit different with leaning towards, more dual threat guys like Jalen Hurts or even Lamar Jackson. But I think here in Dynasty, I want to hold on to Patrick Mahomes and see where his career continues to ascend to.
Now, Adam, you're a Bills fan. You got your Bills hat on. Is it nice to see Josh Allen finally win something over Patrick Mahomes?
I literally knew that was coming, and I can't even do anything. I can't even do anything about it. I will say though, Josh Allen, he's been the QB1 in three of the last 4 years, and the 1 year he didn't, he was second, and I believe that was the year that he didn't miss the game with the Bengals Bills game. So, Listen, Mahomes can win the Super Bowls, but Josh Allen can be the best quarterback in fantasy. That's what we have for the Bills.
And I think we talk about this all the time, and it's one of the reasons that we play in super flex leagues now, is this is one way to make quarterback value closer to what real world value is. Yeah. There might be other ways. I know Joshua, like Scott Fish in the Scott Fish Bowl several years, has done things to try to penalize interceptions more or to try to give people bonuses for a high completion rate. How important do you think it is that this game that we play reflects the game that we're building everything around?
Man, you know, I think it's really interesting because I started playing fantasy football like 20 plus years ago now. And just the way that it's grown and people really love to play the game. I think as much as you can, it would be good to do so. But for me, it's like whatever settings you put out, I'm going to figure out the best team to make there, regardless of what the settings are. So, but I do think that having super flex, majority of my leagues are super flex. I think I only have like one QB league that I do, and it's like a redraft league. And it's just to remember the old times of like the one QB days. So I do like the two QB or super flex. And scoring, I think quarterbacks should be the ones that tend to score more because they're the ones always with the ball under center and in their hands. So,
yeah, that's why I know CBS is one of the few places where the standard is a 6 point per pass touchdown league, and it went to 4 point a lot of other places to try to kind of, I guess, nerf the quarterback scoring. But I agree with you. Like, quarterback is the most important position in football. They should score a lot more points than everyone else. Let's take a look at how this draft has started. I already mentioned it started off with Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, not in that order, with the first two picks. R.J. White takes C.J. Stroud with pick number three. We're definitely going to talk more about that. Jalen Hurts goes fourth. Ja'Marr Chase, the first non-QB, goes fifth. then Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Anthony Richardson. Man, they're going fast. Justin Herbert, CeeDee Lamb, and Justin Jefferson. So let's go back. First off, maybe a little bit of surprise that Jefferson is the third wide receiver, but yeah. CJ Stroud is the third quarterback, Adam. We get, I'll go to Joshua here. I didn't see you were on the clock for a couple picks. So I'll let you pick. Joshua, is that, are we getting over our skis a little bit, or like longevity wise, he might have 15 years as a QB1.
Man, I love CJ Stroud, and I was like so surprised by how well he did in his rookie season. I mean, he looked like he'd been in the league for years. What it took, how many attempts before his first interception in the NFL? And he's, you know, they're surrounding him with talent, right? I mean, he's got Nico Collins, got Tank Dell, re-signed Dalton Schultz, who he had really great chemistry with at tight end. They just got Mixon, right? I mean, so they're doing a lot of things to keep that offense purring. But I think that it might be a little bit too early for him personally, even though it is dynasty and he's young. I mean, he's going into his second year. He's probably only going to get better. I need to see probably a little bit more before I put him at three. I think Jalen Hurts needs to be there or you know, Lamar or one of the guys who are more established.
So Adam's made his pick. So Adam, that first round goes Allen, Mahomes, Stroud, Hurts, Chase, Jackson, Burrow, Richardson, Herbert, and then Lamb, Jefferson, and you took Kyler Murray with the 12th pick. The order of these wide receivers, I do have Chase as my wide receiver one, but then Lamb also goes ahead of Jefferson. How are you ordering those three, and are they kind of interchangeable? Are you okay trading back at that spot in the draft to take the third wide receiver of that group?
Yeah, I think in like redraft, I think as crazy as it is to say, I think Justin Jefferson would easily be third for me just because of this year with the quarterback uncertainty, whether it's Darnold or a rookie. But in Dynasty, like Jefferson eventually is going to have, you know, more of an answer at quarterback. I think those three, if you had Jefferson first, Lamb first, Chase first, it's totally fine. It's really personal preference. I feel like it's also, you know, part of his recency bias. Not that he's, you know, it's unwarranted, but CeeDee Lamb just did what CeeDee Lamb did last year, and Jefferson missed some games, and Chase missed some games. So, but yeah, they're interchangeable for me as well.
And those three, the only non-quarterbacks to go. So we had nine quarterbacks, Joshua, in the first round of the Super Flex mock, including like Kyler by Adam. I know Justin Herbert's fallen out of some favor with some people. You think nine's about right for the number of quarterbacks that should go in round one?
Man, honestly, if it was just me every single time, I bet you'd be pretty much all quarterbacks. I mean, okay. I just really value quarterback heavily. So I love guys like Ja'Marr Chase, CeeDee Lamb, and Justin Jefferson, but I don't think I've ever done a super flex league where I've taken a non QB with my first round pick. Well, I need to get at least one of the top guys.
We're about ready to find out, Adam,
right around the turn where I can grab a QB and then someone else.
Right.
But yeah, I think you have to have QBs in super flex dynasty or you're going to be in trouble very soon.
Teams
that end up with Daniel Jones and like Matt Stafford, it's like, dude, your team's going to be in trouble in a couple of years or maybe even next year.
Yeah, and for me, I was at the turn, so I thought, okay, Kyler for me was the last quarterback before a slight teardrop. I think Jordan Love's right there as well. So, like, obviously I had to take one or I was in trouble. And then I was sitting there, you know what? And, we should also preface, like, we don't have rookies for this draft. So, like, that would obviously – I would probably feel even more inclined to not go double quarterback to start the first round because of how strong the rookie quarterback class is. But for me, I thought after Kyler and maybe Jordan Love, there's a bit of a teardrop.
This is a real test for me because we've gotten to the end of round two and I already have Josh Allen. And I'm probably going to take one more quarterback here. And the top two quarterbacks on my board, let me make sure I'm not missing something and one of them was taken. No, it's Brock Purdy and Trevor Lawrence. And I just like for
this
almost
is pretty
the
late
entirety.
For Lawrence.
What's that?
Yeah, really late
this is pretty Lawrence. Late for Lawrence. I know it's been disappointing last year a little bit, but this is still as late as I've seen him go.
Well, and almost for the entirety of their lives, everyone thought that Trevor Lawrence was so much more valuable than Brock Purdy. But I've got Brock Purdy higher than Trevor Lawrence. I'm taking Brock Purdy over Trevor Lawrence. It feels a little bit how much more evidence do we need?
Wow.
In terms of like fantasy production, and that's not everything. Like we still take into value how good these guys actually are and what their upside is based on their skill set. But Joshua, like at some point, Trevor Lawrence actually has to produce like the elite fantasy prospect that he is, right?
Man, you know, I really like Trevor Lawrence, and this is probably the first. I mean, everyone knows this is a super flex, right? I mean, Trevor Lawrence should not be leaving the first two rounds of a super flex dynasty startup. Like, I would be ecstatic, I think, to see him still there. Like, I would have to consider him with my third pick here, because I know his value. And so that's one of the things that I kind of wrestle with when I do a super flex dynasty startup is, during the startup, you're not necessarily looking to fill holes or fill needs. I think like as you continue to progress, for me, you always have to look at value and potential of what they bring. And Trevor Lawrence still is a franchise quarterback. He has the goods in terms of ability and just quality of play, but he hasn't put things quite together as people have expected, right? So I understand that people are a little bit lower on him now, but it is really hard to see him here.
Let's just you're up against, you're gonna have to make that choice. I'm gonna give you a little bit more time on the clock here, because but Adam, the four quarterbacks taken in round two, we had nine taken in round one, we got four taken in round two. That means 13 quarterbacks have been selected and Trevor Lawrence has not. Jordan Love, Tua Tagovailoa, Dak Prescott, which was who Joshua just took, and then I took Brock Purdy. How many of those guys, Adam, do you have Trevor Lawrence ranked ahead of?
I think I would have Lawrence ahead of Dak, just strictly based off age, mm-hmm. and dynasty, but production wise, obviously Dak, what he did at the end of last season. I think the Purdy conversation is valid. I mean, like, he's not going anywhere. Yes, there's been some rumors about Brandon Ayuk, but like that offense, we know it's going to be conducive to fantasy scoring. And whether you believe Purdy is a system quarterback or not, like, for fantasy, I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter to me. So I think I would have Lawrence over Dak. I would have Lawrence over Tua. I would probably slightly lean Purdy over Lawrence. So I would agree with your selection over Lawrence.
And now is where I hope we get a little bit of run of panicking, because I do have a pretty big gap after Lawrence until the next tier of quarterbacks.
Yeah.
We did see Jared Goff take him with the next pick. We see Deshaun Watson taking two picks later. So hopefully we need a run now, Joshua, of QBs, because you're sitting here through three rounds. It doesn't matter if you prefer Dak Prescott or Trevor Lawrence. You've got them both. Yeah. Mahomes, Prescott, and Lawrence. Let's read through round two. Oh,
we know who's making trades if this league plays out.
that's well, and like, wouldn't you rather be making trades? It's a lot more fun that way. So we did have Bijan Robinson, the first running back, was taken with the first pick of round two, then Amon Ross St. Brown, then Jordan Love. Then there's Garrett Wilson, Tua Tagovailoa, Christian McCaffrey, Tyreek Hill, Breece Hall, Jahmyr Gibbs, Puka Nacua, Dak Prescott, Brock Purdy. Joshua, anything stand out there as like, well, that guy should have gone in round one? We pretty much nailed it, right?
I think a lot of the leagues that I play in with, you know, fellow analysts and things, some of these guys seem a little bit early, but because we're not doing rookie picks, it's understandable that things are pushed up a little bit. Running backs this early, usually I don't see too much, although the ones that went are pretty much the top three. Jonathan Taylor this late in the third. Wow. Yeah, that I think that's very good value. Like, I'd want him over Kirk Cousins, Deshaun Watson, Jared Goff, for sure.
Well, I think that's what you have to figure out. Yeah. And there's this tier break at quarterback, and it's still really important to get them. Like, those QB2s are going to get you a first round pick if you want to trade them just about any year in a rookie draft. So there is a value in stockpiling quarterbacks. But I also think that there comes a point, and it's really about the point that Lawrence goes off the board, where you're right. The guys like the truly elite difference makers at the other positions need to be drafted. Now, I think we're getting to the end of round three here, and I don't want to spoil Adam's pick because he probably won't do it, but we have not had a tight end selected yet. And it's one thing I've noticed in my rankings versus the consensus or the ADP is that everybody seems to have a tight end in round two or round three. I think this draft is actually right. I think with Kelsey's age concern and with everybody else's lack of a track record of elite production, I'm not sure there should be a tight end in the first 30 picks of a draft.
You know, Heath, I don't know about you, but, you know, when I first started playing fantasy, you know, I was always the one QB, you draft RB heavy first, right?
Yeah.
Then you get your wide receivers. Then you get maybe your QB somewhere in the mid rounds. And then tight end was always like, you just kind of pick and choose. Almost you can even do a tight end carousel, right? But now right. with the influx of all the youngsters like that are coming in and making a lot of noise, I've seen Sam Laporta go in the third in several startups with a lot of sharp guys. But I just think that there's enough talent in the pool now where you don't have to reach so high to grab like a quality, even an elite tight end, unless it's a true difference maker like Travis Kelce in his prime, where he's just above and beyond the rest of the pool. But now I definitely wait on tight end like the good old days and grab an Evan Ingram late. Even Evan Ingram, one underrated guy, right? I mean, I don't want to do draft etiquette and talk table talk with players that are still on the board, but.
Oh, we're going to do that. We're going to do that a lot. That when you're doing a podcast, that rule is completely thrown out the window. Now, we did with the second pick of round four, Zach Berger takes Sam Laporta. Adam, I think there's a pretty healthy debate over whether Laporta should be the tight end one. I think you could still put Mark Andrews in that conversation. Trey McBride made his case in the second half of last year, and the way Jonathan Gannon's talking about him, I don't think that's going to change. I think that's a fixture of their offense is throw the ball to the tight end 25 to 30% of the time. Do you see Laporta as a clear tight end one in Dynasty, or do you think that there's room for debate there?
I think there's definitely room for debate because, like, Mark Andrews missed so much time. For me, like, Laporta's probably, like, if, like, I'm going to be starting my Dynasty ranks next week, and I'll probably have Laporta first, but also remember, like, there was a stretch where, or multiple stretches, I guess, where the Lions only had one running back, whether Montgomery was out or Gibbs was out. When they finally down the stretch had both together, that's when we saw Sam Laporta's numbers dip a little bit. So I'm not saying he's going to be, you know, not part of the offense. He's still going to be, at worst, a top three tight end, but just definitely something to keep an eye on. If you look at the splits when they were all healthy at running back with Laporta, when you're comparing him to Mark Andrews, Kelce, Trey McBride, etc.
Oh, I absolutely love this. We see Kyle Pitts go with as tight end two in this draft. And I have really, and I'll just stay with you on this one, Adam, because we're getting close to Joshua's pick, but I've really been struggling with how much of a boost to give Pitts after a 2 or 3 years of not quite tight end one, you know, not the guy that we'd been billing him to be, but now he's got Kirk Cousins. He's got rid of Arthur Smith. Things are supposed to be getting better. Is he in that conversation for you? Cause I'll tell you, the only guy I moved him ahead of, I had him at tight end five before this news, they signed Cousins. I moved him up to tight end four. The only guy that I moved him ahead of though was a Buffalo Bill, Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah. Like, obviously, Kyle Pitts is somebody that we've just been waiting for more, right? I remember back, well, it would have been his rookie year when Matt Ryan was there. I just always go back to it. It was when they were playing Miami. He was lined up out wide on the perimeter against Xavier Howard in one-on-one coverage and just beat him multiple times. I'm like, can we just throw him the ball 8 times a game? And of course, obviously, Arthur Smith happened. But last year, he was like 40%+ of his targets were deemed uncatchable. It was one of the highest rates in the NFL. Kirk Cousins, like, obviously a massive upgrade. And Kirk Cousins, if he plays the majority of the season, he's pretty much a lock for 4,200 yards and 30 touchdowns. So you think Drake London gets a lot of that, Bijan gets some, and Kyle Pitts gets some. I don't have him ranked as tight end two, but if he finishes tight end two, or if this time next year we're ranking him as tight end one, even, I don't think it's out of the range of possibilities.
Joshua, you stole Kyren Williams from me there. But I was really struggling with, like, the clear top two players on my board were Kyren Williams and Achane. And I was struggling if I wanted to go running back at the 4 or 5 turn when I've only got one wide receiver. So the Achane pick is pretty easy for me there. I don't know that, like, there was a pretty significant run on wide receivers. And so I don't really know that I feel great about any of the wide. Oh, yes, I do. Devontae Smith's still there. He's someone, Adam.
That's who I debated between him and DJ Moore. It was really close.
It seems like last year is really being held against him. I see him for redraft purposes being graded as a low-end borderline wide receiver too. I still have him as a top 12 dynasty wide receiver. This feels like an exceptional value in round five for me, at least.
It is. And I debated between him and DJ Moore. I probably should have went Devonta Smith with Keenan Allen there, but I don't, you know, it's DJ Moore still young. Keenan Allen, I don't think will be there too long. Obviously they will presumably have Caleb Williams. The thing with the Eagles wide receivers that I'm so excited about this season with Kellen Moore, their offense last year was kind of reminded me of the Bills offense in years past, where it was like, just rely on your really good quarterback and your really good wide receivers to make plays and not even really scheme anything. And they were dead last in pre-stat motion, which, like, I'm a huge fan of pre-stat motion. I think it's really, really not only helpful for the quarterback, but it just helps wide receivers get easy converted targets. And obviously they were last in pre-stat motion. Both receivers were like, it was like 4% of the time they were actually in motion before the snap. Obviously Kellen Moore comes from Dallas and comes from the Chargers last year, where the Chargers were fifth in pre-stat motion. So I expect Devonta Smith to move around the formation more. And yeah, like, the overall offense was down, right? We expect the offense to be much, much better. Hurts was banged up. So yeah, I probably should have taken Devonta Smith, but yeah, getting him where you got him is pretty massive, I think.
And it always feels good when you talk somebody into believing they should have taken the guy that you took. but no, I think that those were both good picks. Now, Eli McGee here is obviously feeling his oats after the big victory last night. Says, what is the point of this before the NFL draft? And I want to say, like, somebody answered content, and correct, Dawn. But also, that's not good just content. It. What I really enjoy when starting a new dynasty league is doing the startup before the NFL draft and then having a rookie draft to do after the NFL draft. That's the best part of fantasy football, is drafting. When you're starting a new league, why not have two drafts? So that's the point of this, is I actually have had leagues that we started like this. We did the startup in February or January or March, probably not April, but maybe even April. And then in May, you get that rookie draft. Now, we're not including rookies or rookie picks in this. There's a lot of different ways that you can do this, Joshua. And I kind of want to get your opinion.
Yeah.
I've seen leagues where you draft kickers for your rookie picks, yeah, and you're like selecting your rookie picks as a part of the draft.
Yeah.
I've seen leagues where you go ahead and draft rookies as a part of the startup before they are ever selected to teams. And then I've seen leagues where you have a reverse order for the rookie draft than you have for the startup draft. Mm-hmm. I think, like, you guys vote and decide what you prefer, and any of those are fine with me. Do you have one of those that you strongly prefer?
Yeah, so this is actually a really awesome question for people who are, you know, thinking about doing a startup or starting one. I prefer having kickers represent draft picks in the startup draft, because it kind of makes an equal putting of where you can take a pick, or kind of earning the pick in one sense by valuing it and then picking it as part of the startup. I've seen people who do the reverse order of the startup, but I don't like that, because your team hasn't done anything, right? It hasn't shown that it's weaker or stronger. And then just by, you know, coincidence of having last pick in the startup, you get the 101. That's like way too much value to get a 101 rookie just based on order. So I definitely prefer having the kickers represent the draft picks. Like, I'm in one where I took the 1.01 in the second round of startup of a Superflex dynasty, and that represents Caleb Williams, obviously, for me. So
right,
like, doing something like that. Now, when you go to the rookie draft, and like you said, we love drafting, having two separate drafts, then you go ahead and use those picks, or you can even trade those picks as assets right before the draft. So there's a lot of fun that goes into having it in there. I have also been in drafts where the rookies are actually in the draft. And let me tell you, Malik Willis year, there were a lot of mistakes made by people drafting him as a potential first rounder. And then they were just probably on the NFL draft day waiting around saying, when is Malik Willis going to
what have I done?
Exactly. So yeah, definitely, if anyone were to ask me, I'd say get the kickers in there as, you know, position holders for the draft. And it's a lot of fun that way, for sure.
So Thomas hasn't yelled at me about it yet, but I haven't taken a break yet either. So let's take a short break, and then I'll kind of recap rounds 3, 4, and 5, and we'll make some observations. This draft is flying. Okay, so we are back. Let's take a look at round 3. I started off taking A.J. Brown with the 25th pick overall. We talked about Joshua taking Trevor Lawrence as his third quarterback. Then we get Jared Goff Chris Olave, Deshaun Watson, Kirk Cousins, Drake London, Jalen Waddle, Jonathan Taylor, Nico Collins, Michael Pittman, and then Bryce Young goes to Adam with the final pick of round three. Adam, what kind of hope do you have? Because I think we talked about it, and Joshua and I were both in agreement that some of these older quarterbacks went earlier than we would like to draft them. But Young is obviously very young, just had a disastrous rookie year. Are you hopeful that Dave Canales is going to get things fixed for him, that Diontae Johnson's going to give him a true number one wide receiver, and that we're going to see him produce as like a high-end QB2 this year?
I both am encouraged with Bryce Young. I also, admittedly, the three players that went before him were the three top players on my board, so that didn't help. but no, I actually wrote about Bryce Young in an article last week. So obviously, Bryce Young's rookie season was terrible, but if anybody watched, that team just they had no separation. We have a ton of advanced data at FTN Fantasy. So our data team charted his average separation per pass attempt was at 1.63. It was tied for the fourth lowest rate in the NFL. Doesn't really surprise anybody. They bring in Diontae Johnson, who can separate. And like, I am a massive Dave Canales fan. He obviously was the quarterback's coach in Seattle, where Geno Smith had a breakout season. Was a top 10 fantasy quarterback. I think it was like top five, actually, borderline. And then obviously last year in Tampa Bay as the OC with Baker having a career season. So I believe in Dave Canales. I believe in the fact that, you know, they bring in Diontae Johnson. And we have to remember, like, yes, CJ Stroud is clearly the best quarterback in that class. It's not even a debate. But I really struggle to believe the number one overall selection last year was as all of a sudden just as bad as he was last year. Remember, Trevor Lawrence had a bad rookie season in a bad situation. So, and Bryce Young made some throws last year that were like, wow, first overall selection worthy throws. So I would like to see a little bit more talent added. I know they're missing some draft picks because they traded for Bryce Young. But yeah, I mean, I'm still very hopeful.
I'm going to stay with you, Adam, here, because Joshua and I are up at our turn, and we will get to round four in a second. But I want to talk about a pick that was just made by RJ White, and I absolutely love it. Will Levis falls all the way to the end, basically of the 10th pick of round six. We saw Baker Mayfield, Justin Fields, Derek Carr, Matthew Stafford all go in this round. I prefer Levis to all of these guys. I wrote about how one of the big shifts in my running back ranking changes this month was dropping Fields below Will Levis. He's now got Calvin Ridley. He's got DeAndre Hopkins. He's got a better offensive system. Are you optimistic about Levis?
I am. I also, like, I'm still a little bit worried about, like, a lot of his traits, like his pocket presence is terrible. But if he's getting Calvin, like, I also want to see Calvin Ridley use, I think they talked about it actually this week. Callahan talked about like moving him around more, which he didn't do in Jacksonville. So you move him around the formation more, he's going to get open a lot faster. You have two very capable running backs. Maybe they draft now without, you know, they were a team that could have went receiver or something. Now they can probably maybe take Joe Alt where they're at in the draft and shore up the offensive line. So, and the thing with Will Levis is too, there is like legitimate upside with his game because he was such a high ADOT player. Like, I believe he was top five in percentage of passes, 20 plus yards down the field. So he's not going to have like this massive, you know, 20 plus point floor, but he'll have some spike week, especially with Hopkins, Ridley, and the weapons they have there.
I honestly think that it's not, he's probably not going to throw 30 touchdown passes or 30 interceptions, but watching him play, that 30-30 season that we got from Jameis, and that quarterback that we as fantasy managers love and drives some head coaches crazy, I think Levis could be that guy for the next couple of seasons as a potential starter. Now let's go through, we got through our picks there, Joshua, and we'll talk about those in a minute, but yeah. I've fallen a little bit behind here on the rounds. So let's actually try to get through round four here and see what you thought of these picks. Adam started that round off with DJ Moore. Then we had the first tight end, Sam Laporta, Travis Etienne, Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, Kyle Pitts as tight end two was a bit of a surprise, but I like it. Saquon Barkley, Aaron Rodgers, another old quarterback, Trey McBride, Rashee Rice. Man, I wish I could have got him. Kyren Williams, man, I wish I could have got him. And then I took Devon Achane. I almost feel like I like the end of that round four better than the start of it. Maybe that's because it was my pick. Do you have any observations there about round four?
You know, I think DJ Moore, you know, obviously as a Bears fan, I love having him on our team. He is a difference maker, a playmaker. And, you know, I would probably take him actually ahead of probably Michael Pittman Jr., Nico Collins. And just with the thought of Caleb Williams arriving into the Windy City and, you know, throwing the ball, I think my expectations are very high for DJ Moore to not lose a step, but to actually do even better. Now, I love Justin Fields and I wish him success, you know, in Pittsburgh, but, you know, it's a new era. Hopefully we'll have our first 4,000 yard passer in history of the Chicago Bears in Caleb Williams. So I really like the DJ Moore pick. Saquon Barkley also, I think, is an absolute stud. If he was there at my pick and he fell, I probably would have taken him over Kyren. Now, I know the age factor, but Barkley being on the Eagles now, I know there's the tush push and, you know, everyone's like, you know, Hurts is going to take away value, but I think Barkley is going to have, I mean, a huge, huge season in Philadelphia. But yeah, I'm noticing that with all these QBs going, that normally I don't see this level of older QBs,
right,
or like QB2s going this early. Even like Bryce Young, like he's kind of risky. So, I mean, I respect the pick. I think he probably could have gone a little bit later, but at this point, just QBs are flying off the board. I mean, so yeah, I mean, those are some of my, I guess, observations. Rashee Rice, I'm very interested to see how he does to follow up a very strong finish to his rookie season for sure.
Yeah, and I think that's a good transition because I was just looking at round five, and we'll just jump straight there. We talked plenty about my pick in round five, Devontae Smith, to start the round, but then you took Josh Jacobs with the second pick of round five, and you were kind of glowing about Saquon Barkley. I actually still have Jacobs ranked above Barkley in terms of dynasty value. He's a year younger. Their production's been pretty similar over the last three seasons, and I think like it's easy to look at who – Saquon Barkley was the first 2 years in the league and say Josh Jacobs has never been that guy. Yep. But I think the Saquon Barkley we have now is very similar to Josh Jacobs. And I wonder if in full PPR, there's more of a room for a huge catch season for Jacobs.
Especially now, right? Being on the new squad. I love Josh Jacobs, not as much as Saquon Barkley, but he's an all-around back. I mean, he can catch the ball out of the backfield, and he's a hard runner. He can pretty much do anything that you require of a running back. And he's someone who really slipped in value, obviously, last year with injury and, you know, Zamir White kind of, you know, doing his thing on the Raiders. But, yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing him bounce back and have a big year. And I was looking through the wide receivers, a lot of wide receivers that I would have liked. There were gone. So I'm very happy to have, you know, two younger running backs to kind of buoy everything for the team. I still think and believe that having strong running backs is part of the key to success, even in dynasty. I know a lot of savvy, you know, dynasty players, they go hard on, you know, wide receivers early on, especially. But I'm still in Superflex. Give me the QBs. And if there's top RBs remaining, those are the guys I'm probably rocking with.
Okay, Adam, so we'll finish out round five here with you. After Smith and Jacobs, we get James Cook, Zay Flowers, Tank Dell, Travis Kelce, Deebo Samuel, DK Metcalf, Jordan Addison, George Pickens, Mark Andrews, and Ken Walker. I'll tell you, I was looking at Walker when I made, like, right before JB took Josh Jacobs. So I thought that was a great value on Ken Walker. But the guy that I want to ask you about is George Pickens. I think there is an enormous opportunity for this guy, just the fifth player since 1992 to have 100 targets, average better than 10 yards per target in his age 22 season. The first four were all superstars, except for Josh Gordon, and he would have been a superstar. Yeah. So do you have some hope that George Pickens could turn into maybe a real wide receiver one if either Russell Wilson or Justin Fields can just be average?
100%. His splits in the games, remember Deontay missed, like, I think he got hurt like the first game of the season, then missed a few games after that. His splits in terms of target share were really good. We started to see a little bit after the change in OC of him not just running go routes. It was still a majority of his production, but that's a good fit with Russell Wilson. I mean, we saw what Russell Wilson when he's at his best off play action, taking shots on the field. And Arthur Smith obviously isn't, you know, fantasy football's favorite head coach at this point or OC, but he will utilize play action a ton, and he will I trust him to because that's what Denver didn't do for the most part with Russell Wilson. They didn't get him out on outside the pocket and play action and taking shots on the field. So you add – this team's going to add a wide receiver, and given their track record, they're probably going to be really good. But Pickens right now, clear alpha, super young, has shown serious upside. I almost took him earlier than he went. I almost reached on him, but yeah. I don't even know if it would have been a reach because I'm pretty high on him.
So you have one more pick, Joshua. I know you're a Fields fan. I get the impression from watching on Twitter you're also a Russell Wilson fan. I felt like Russell Wilson really got a raw deal, and not just because they benched him so they didn't have to worry about potentially paying him. Sure. But I think Adam's right. Sean Payton took future Hall of Famer Russell Wilson and said, you're going to be Drew Brees now, instead of trying to craft an offense around what Russell Wilson does well. Do you have confidence or hope that maybe Wilson doesn't give Fields a chance to start this year because he actually plays well?
So, yeah, I am big on both players. Russell Wilson is someone I think he didn't get a raw deal in terms of money. He still got paid, right? So he's paying like $30-something million for this year. But I think that he's kind of like, you know, like a basketball player when early on you kind of rely a lot on your athleticism and everything to make the game work. And then you kind of have to develop a jump shot, you know, and once you get your good jump shooter, you can stay in the league for a long time. Right. And I think Russell Wilson still with his passing has the ability to be the starting quarterback of an NFL team for many more years. And so I think Pittsburgh giving him an opportunity, and we just talked about Pickens, his deep ball accuracy still tops. And I think that's going to be a really big boost for Pickens. And I do think that they'll let Russ start. And unless he just completely, you know, goes down in flames and does terribly, I think that he will be the starter for the year. But Justin Fields, he does bring some excitement, right? I mean, he does something excellent, right? Where in his rushing ability, not yet in his passing, but in his rushing ability, that really brings kind of an X factor to the game that Russell Wilson at this point in his career doesn't really do. So it kind of depends on what they want to do. But Russ, I think he's going to do a really good job. Pickens, though, I need a little bit more convincing on.
Okay.
I know the stat that you mentioned, and Adam, you know, was all over that too. But I was always a big Deontay Johnson guy, like in Pittsburgh when they were both on the same team. So Pickens needs to show me a little bit more. Like, I don't think I have any Pickens in any of my dynasty leagues. So I'm not out on him because he showed such improvement, but I'm also not like salivating to you know, draft him for this upcoming season.
Would you say you've not been picking Sim?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You probably wouldn't say that, but I did.
If he was the only wide receiver left, it would be Slim Pickens.
It would be Slim Pickens. I love that. Let's take a look at round six, Adam. Like I said, we are moving through this draft quickly. We're actually in round eight now, but you know, if you're watching on YouTube, then you can see the picks happen live as they happen. If you're listening on the podcast, we'll recap for you, and we'll probably go another 15 minutes if these guys are good with that. Maybe get through round 10. But the round six picks, we had you started off, Adam, with Stephon Diggs. That's got to be the latest. I mean, imagine last year even thinking that Stephon Diggs was going to be there in round six of a startup. But there were some struggles last year. Then we have Matthew Stafford, Dalton Kincaid, JSN goes in round six. Another pretty big surprise based on where they were going last year. Derek Carr, Justin Fields, Christian Watson, Baker Mayfield, Jaden Reed, Will Levis. We already talked about how much I liked that pick. And then Joshua took Davante Adams. I took Rashad White. Let's talk about these young wide receivers, JSN and Christian Watson, a couple of guys who have seen their value fall quite a bit in the last calendar month. Are you still in on these guys? What's your level of hope?
Yeah, Christian Watson, I'm kind of not fully out on. I just don't think he's the best wide receiver on their team. Simply put, I think you watched their offense with Matt LaFleur, and I was really interested to see this post Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers was not a fan of pre-snap motion at all. And now that he was gone, I was expecting an uptick, and there was an uptick. And a lot of that was with Jaden Reed. He was the guy getting a lot of the jet sweeps, a lot of the screens, a lot of the scheme touches. And granted, his ADOT and everything was incredibly low, and Watson has a ceiling. But all of a sudden, you have Jaden Reed, you have two young tight ends that will be more involved and hopefully healthy this season, And then, you know, Dontayvion Wicks was awesome last year. I don't really – like, Watson's somebody I'm really out on just because I think I would rather get Jaden Reed or Dontayvion Wicks later. So I'm not really on Watson. JSN obviously would be more interesting if, you know, Tyler Lockett wasn't back. The interesting thing, too, though, Shane Waldron's gone. And he was a proponent of using 12 and 13 personnel at times. Hopefully we see more 11 than we saw. But down the stretch, you know, second half of the season, which you tend to see from rookies, JSN was playing a lot more. A lot of times he was getting more targets per out run than Lockett, who, you know, over the age of 30, he had one of his least efficient seasons. Finally, Lockett was not that efficient, which hasn't happened really ever. So I'm definitely, like, if people are worried about JSN, I would definitely jump to trade for him.
Is he still a top 15 dynasty wide receiver? Top 20, top 25? I struggle with him right around that 20 range.
He would be outside top 15 for me for sure, but
right.
Yeah, he's probably like 20 to 25. Again, okay, so also it's you know, obviously I think you would comfortably put three rookies ahead of him, so that obviously bumps him down. Maybe even four, depending on landing spot. We'll see.
We just had the ultimate run of old wide receivers, and it was all Joshua and I doing it. Let me see.
I wanted Chris Godwin or Keenan Allen after your turn, and you took both. I was like, where did they go? They
just so you take you take Cooper Kupp at the end of round eight, yeah, or almost at the end. Then I take Chris Godwin. I pair him up with Keenan Allen. Then you take DeAndre Hopkins. It just, yeah. How do you view, like, do you have to be someone who's drafting in a startup to be a that you think you're drafting your team to be a competitor to take guys like Kupp and Keenan or Hopkins, or do you feel okay adding them because it's so late? Like, we're at pick 96, 97, 98. Yeah. Like, it's just such great value that you'll be able to turn them into a rookie pick if you're not a competitor.
Yeah. So the way that I strategize in Dynasty, Superflex, or even just any startup is I plan on winning right away. Right. So I'm not thinking about fancy rebuilds and, you know, I think there's something like the productive struggle and all these.
Yes, Ryan McDell. We talked about that just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. I say, give me the best players available, but you have to really couple it with value because you don't want to just flame out after a couple of years because everyone's too old and their time has come, right, to be out of the league. So these values are actually really good for the potential of what, you know, the veteran receivers can produce. I did actually consider Godwin over Kupp simply because age, people think Chris Godwin's like 35, but what is he, like 28? You know,
right.
He's still kind of in the prime of the you know, back in the prime of his wide receiver career. But yeah, I mean, Cooper Kupp, just a couple of years back, I mean, what he was able to do and on a regular, consistent basis, going this late, who knows? Matt Stafford still loves him. I know Puka Nacua, but look, Puka Nacua went in the second round and we're in the eighth round. And I think Cooper Kupp very much has the ability to put a wide receiver one number still, as long as he stays healthy. DeAndre Hopkins as well with Will Levis. We saw really actually great connection between the two, and Levis just trusts Hopkins to go up and get the ball. So I'm sure he'll be chucking a few his way as well. So I was okay going with Hopkins here, especially since I'm set at running back.
Let's getting ready. Adam's getting ready to make some picks. Joshua, so I'll stay with you and let's take a look at how round seven went. I started that off with Javonte Williams, who is one of my favorite buy lows this offseason. I still think that we may get to October and he'll be viewed as a top 12 dynasty running back once again.
Wow.
You took Isaiah Pacheco right behind him, which I think those guys belong in the same range. Then we had Calvin Ridley, David Montgomery, Terry McLaurin, Nick Chubb, Mr. Unlimited, Russell Wilson, TJ Hockenson, DeAndre Swift, Geno Smith, Christian Kirk. I loved that pick from Zach. And then Joe Mixon. I want to ask you about Hockenson because obviously the injury has extremely negatively impacted his redraft value. We expect that he's not going to be ready at the start of the year. We don't know when he's going to be 100%. How does that change your valuation of him in Dynasty? Is it someone you want to buy because he's an injured player and you can maybe get him cheaper right now?
Yeah, I think with the way that people are coming back from injuries now, especially, you know, he's not a running back or, you know, I would still consider him top five, I think.
Okay.
Or maybe not top five. That's hard to say with all the young people, you know, the young TEs. But he's definitely still a tight end one. And he's someone that I would target for value. In this particular round, though, it's a very interesting round to see because, you know, talking about injuries, Nick Chubb, right? I mean, right. He went in the seventh, and he's someone that I would not pick until much later. There's just too much risk involved. But with TJ Hockenson, with his age, him coming back, probably will have a little bit more time and a little bit less violent of a position to play at tight end than running back, just constantly getting pummeled. I'm okay with that pick where he went.
Let's take one more short break, and then we'll kind of go through where our teams stand through the first 10 rounds of the draft. Only one of us has made our 10th round pick, so we'll start with Adam. We'll be right back after this. All right, Adam, you're the first guy to 10 players. I don't even know if you've filled out all your roster spots. I still don't have a tight end. Let's see how your team looks. You've got Kyler Murray as your QB1, Bryce Young as your QB2. You took Sam Darnold as your QB3. At running back, you have Ken Walker. Oh, no. You've got Bijan Robinson. You've got Ken Walker. You've got Joe Mixon and Aaron Jones. So a little long in the tooth with your RB3 and 4, but a great RB1 and 2. Wide receivers where it gets a little bit dicey. DJ Moore and Stephon Diggs, your only wide receivers through 10 rounds. And then you were listening to Joshua earlier. You took Evan Ingram as that value tight end one. Maybe a little bit of a unique build with 4 running backs and 2 wide receivers. But man, that combination of Bijan and Ken Walker may not matter who's playing wide receiver for you.
Yeah, like I definitely fell asleep a little bit at wide receiver. I was debating between Deontay Johnson and where I took Sam Darnold. Admittedly, it's definitely a bit of a struggle doing this without after, you know, for months of us kind of breaking down the rookies, just
right.
Doing it startup and everybody gets pushed up. So admittedly, that's something I struggle with a bit. I don't love my team, obviously, but it's the somebody asked like why we're doing this before the draft. I think it's the exercise and to know the differences in ADP changes when we get the rookies. Evan Ingram, like, don't expect it to happen again, but he was 4th in the NFL in receptions last year. Like, and I think them not obviously bringing back Calvin Ridley and bringing in Gabe Davis is only good things for Christian Kirk and Evan Ingram.
Yeah.
And we know Doug Peterson's offense has been extremely tight end friendly. So, he's obviously, I think he's 29, but he's had a crazy career because he looked like somebody we all wanted in Dynasty after his rookie season. Then he fell apart and then he went to the Jacksonville. He's been top 5.
It is kind of a weird dynamic because I know that we don't often see, and Joshua's getting ready to make his 10th pick, so I'm going to talk about the first 9 while he's making that 10. But what the first thing that stood out to me was the running backs in Kyren Williams, Josh Jacobs, and Isaiah Pacheco are really, really strong. I know he's not generally a guy who prioritizes running backs in dynasty startups, but I think that tells you kind of how the wide receivers flew off the board. Yeah. And when you're at the end, like all 3 of us were, how you kind of have to take what the board gives you. So through 9 rounds, and we'll get the 10th pick live here, the quarterbacks are Patrick Mahomes, Dak Prescott, and Trevor Lawrence. Not sure you're going to find a better quarterback trio than those 3. At running back, as I said, he's got Josh Jacobs, Kyren Williams, and Isaiah Pacheco, now adding Raheem Mostert as the 10th pick. And then at wide receiver, 3 guys, you want to talk about long in the tooth, Davante Adams, Cooper Kupp, and DeAndre Hopkins. No tight end yet for you, Joshua. Is it surprising to you how this team's come together?
The 3 QBs in a row, generally I wouldn't do, but with value, the way that I value Trevor Lawrence as still a QB1 in Dynasty, there's just no way that I could let him fall to a team that didn't prioritize quarterback, you know, in the first 2 rounds. So I really like the strong core, and I could definitely look to make some moves off of that. I do like the top tier running backs in a startup for the sake of winning that year. It's a pretty big part.
Right.
And the 2 that I got age-wise, you know, Kyren Williams, as long as he doesn't go in the doghouse, he's going to be hopefully the Rams, you know, running back of the foreseeable future. And then Pacheco, I mean, they love him in KC and with good reason. And I think just being a part of that offense, I'm happy to take him there. I know my wide receivers are older. Some might say, you know, it's a retirement community and that wide receiver core. But I think I can make do with this team and use the assets that I have to draft because there will be a rookie draft following this one if we were to do that.
Right.
And there's a very strong wide receiver class.
That's a good point. That went in my thought process too, even though it was a mock. I'm sitting here like, well, there has to be rookies at some point. So
yeah. So that's part of it too. And I know that I can make up ground there. I'm just still so old school that I feel like running backs are so undervalued.
Right.
And they really are ones that could be difference makers. Like, so Raheem Mostert, you know, perfect example, very old in terms of, you know, running back age, but he's on an explosive offense. Let's get him going and you know, go for another championship.
Excellent. We're going to let you make your pick here, Joshua and Adam. Yeah. I'll go through my team. You can tear it apart, although you won't, because my quarterback, my QB1 is Josh Allen. I'm set.
I don't need to see the rest.
Josh Allen and Brock Purdy at quarterback. I've got Devon Achane, Rashad White, and Javonte Williams are my top three running backs. Wide receiver, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Chris Godwin, Keenan Allen, and I just took DeMario Douglas in round 11. And then my only tight end so far is Dallas Goedert, my round 10 pick. I did not realize that I drafted three Eagles pass catchers without Jalen Hurts. That was not intentional, but Goddard's another one of those guys, kind of like Devontae Smith, where I just feel like last year's being held against him too much.
Yeah, I can see that. And again, I think we have to remember that the Eagles offense was not playing at its, especially in the second half. Remember how disappointing it was. That's going to change. Like, whether you think they'll be the best offense, you know, the fourth best offense, I'd be shocked if they're out to the top five, and that's just going to bring everybody along. And yeah, Goddard, like, he had a weird season too last year where he, coming into last year, like, he was as efficient as anybody in the NFL at tight end. So I'm not all of a sudden believing he's, you know, suddenly bad. So I expect him to be right up there again. The only question you always have with him is, like, what's his ceiling for targets on a weekly basis if everybody's healthy? But because he's so efficient, I expect him to be, you know, return to being efficient. He can make do with six targets a game.
And when you're drafting him, I don't know, we have 3, 5, 6, 9, 10. If you're drafting him as a tight end 10, 11, 12 in round after in the double digit rounds, that risk of a lower target volume is not quite as daunting. When we were drafting him in round 6 as a borderline top 5 tight end, then it was a little bit more of a concern. So listen, I'm going to kind of, we got just a couple minutes left here. We're in round 11 of this mock draft. There will be, if you want, I know it's probably when you're listening, you're watching, it's hard to keep up with every pick. I will write this mock up. There will be full results on the site, cbssports.com, by Friday afternoon. So probably by the time you are listening to this podcast, you'll be able to go over to the site, look at the full results while you listen to the podcast. But you're both going to pick a couple times before I do, or Adam's twice, Joshua once. So you're not going to give me anything that I'm going to steal from you. But when we get into the double-digit rounds, and Adam's coming up to pick here now, so I'll go to you first, Joshua.
Yeah.
People who are in the double-digit rounds of their startup drafts, any deeper sleepers that make it to this range that you think people should be on the lookout for that might increase their value a lot in the next year?
Man, that's a really, really good question. Honestly, I think at QB is actually one place where you might find some value. So okay. Will Levis went a lot earlier in this draft than I've seen him go in some startups. But like, is Daniel Jones still out there?
That he is in my queue. So if I do take him, it's not because I'm trying to steal him from you. I was actually considering him last round.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. And we've got Adam Azer and Dan Schneier in this draft. It's amazing that neither one of them have taken him yet. But yes, Daniel Jones is someone who could be a value.
Yeah. So super flex, I mean, quarterback, the cheapest you'll ever be able to buy, quote unquote, buy a quarterback is in the startup. And so, you know, with Daniel Jones, I think they're still committed to him, at least for this season, as the starter to kind of prove himself and the deal that they made with him, giving all those millions of dollars. But I know that recently they did say, hey, but if there's a rookie quarterback that you really love in this draft, go ahead and get him. But I Daniel Jones just a couple seasons ago was what, QB 13, you know, like in Dynasty. And so he's someone that still has the goods. He is kind of a silent Konami code player, the dual threat that people don't really expect, but he can run the ball, you know, as well. So he's someone that I would definitely target in Superflex leagues, kind of in the mid rounds, especially a quarterback that's such an important position.
I see at that 11-12 term, Adam, you kind of answered this question for the people with your two picks, taking Gabe Davis and Michael Wilson. And immediately after that, Zach Berger, clearly watching live on YouTube, takes Daniel Jones. Listen, I think that's one of the things about maybe why Trevor Lawrence falls to round three, because he just, after a disappointing third season, replaces Calvin Ridley with Gabe Davis. Do you think Gabe Davis has like some bounce back potential? Can he finally not disappoint now that he's gotten out of that terrible situation in Buffalo?
I'm not overly excited about him. It was just kind of, obviously I need to address the wide receiver position. And again, this is a team that if this were a real dynasty startup and we were playing it out, I would be obviously going into the draft or going out of the draft, going into the rookie draft, knowing that I'm addressing wide receiver early, which I think is fine because it's such a loaded wide receiver class. But yeah, Michael Wilson, I think, is kind of sneaky too, because we expect the Cardinals to take Marvin Harrison at four, but there's been rumors they trade back. They'll obviously address the position one, maybe two times during the draft, because right now they're left with Greg Dortch and Michael Wilson. But he was a rookie pick last year. Kyler Murray is going to be healthy, hopefully, for the full season. Even if Marvin Harrison is there, like, there's a path to Michael Wilson being viable. So, and obviously, again, if they trade down and draft, you know, they get a later first round pick and draft somebody like Brian Thomas or somebody, like, I think Michael Wilson, I debated between him, Dontavian Wicks. I just think Michael Wilson, there's a little bit more unknown with him. And at this point of the dynasty startup, I'm looking for some more of the unknown. I think we know Dontavian Wicks is going to be solid and a part of the offense, but not quite sure what we can expect from Michael Wilson, which I don't think is always a bad thing to be unsure.
Yeah. Right. And I'll give one that I'm surprised is still here in round 13. I think people are doubting just how much Harbaugh and Roman are going to establish the run. But Gus Edwards is old. He doesn't catch passes, and he's a running back, so nobody wants to draft him. But in round 13 of a startup, that's not a bad place to find a borderline RB2, which is where I just took Gus Edwards. I also paired Jake Ferguson up with Dallas Goedert. If you like, we talk a lot in redraft at tight end about great or late. And if you're going late at tight end, just taking whoever is going to be the Cowboys tight end one has been a pretty good way to do it. They're going to throw 100 passes to their tight ends. If as long as Ferguson holds on to that job, he's going to be a borderline tight end one, guys. We still have a few rounds here. And again, like I said, we will have the full results available on the site. But I have taken enough of Adam and Joshua's time, guys. I really appreciate you guys being here. Joshua, I know you do something a little bit you are extremely active on Twitter. So tell people how they can follow you and how they can expect to interact with you in the fantasy football world.
Yeah, so in the fantasy off season, if there is one, I do a lot of dynasty, games and how to play the game, values, just answering questions that people might have on trades. And then during the redraft season, I try to put out daily content on X, and you can follow me at JB Cho Knows. I try to really answer everyone who has a question, but as the following grows, there's quite a lot. So I do my best though, and just try to share, God's love and kindness, on the X app. And hopefully you enjoy, the interactions.
We appreciate it. And we've enjoyed having you on. Adam, tell everybody where they can find your content.
Yeah, ftnfantasy.com. Right now with free agency pretty much over, ramping up the draft stuff. So right now I'm doing a series where I go through each division, breaking down what positions and what players make sense for every team in that division. So that's fun, doing a ton of stuff with rookies coming up. And it's an exciting time. Again, I talk about it all the time. Literally nothing better, obviously, than watching football and scoring fantasy points every Sunday. But my favorite time of the offseason, at least for content, podcasts, etc., is this time. Seeing who's landing where, making strong cases for players, given, stats and everything with changes and teams and schemes and everything. So this is my favorite time of the year. So I'm always happy to be talking some football.
I thank both of you for being here. I thank everybody who was a part of this draft day. And again, those names will be listed on the site in the article. I thank you guys for participating here in the YouTube chat, listening to the podcast. Starting next week, we have rookie position previews. On Tuesday, we've got Matt Waldman back on the show with Dan Schneier. He'll be here as well. So we will talk to you next Tuesday.